Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today's guest is Britt Gottschalk, and she's the CEO of Genome. Britt, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All right, Britt, so we got a big topic today. We're going to have lots of fun. So improving public opinion on medical research. So we're going to get into that and more. And just to get us kicked off, we'll start this with our Mission Matters Minute. So Britt, at Mission Matters, our goal and our aim is to amplify stories that we feel need to be heard. That's our mission. Britt, what mission matters to you?
The mission that matters to me is helping advance medical research by allowing people to monetize their health data.
That's a super interesting topic. We've been talking about monetizing data and what that looks like for a long time. Like, how did you get this idea? Like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, well, you know, like all people that try to find something good to create a business around, I started in consulting. And so I actually don't have a background in any kind of clinical research, genomics, biology, none of that. I had a background in psychology. Was really interested in helping people solve really complex problems. And in my journey of doing that, some of the companies that I worked with in the management consultant space focused on project management, process improvement, that kind of stuff. It was usually in industries that, you know, were ripe for innovation and change. So industries like insurance, finance, healthcare. And I actually came up with the idea of Genome in working in some of those different capacities, working with some clients and figuring out, you know, what are some of the things that they want to see improved about their day-to-day jobs and everyday lives. And a lot of that came back to data accessibility. The pandemic really exacerbated the issues that come with the transferability and accessibility of different types of medical data. So medical records, genetic, genomic data, all that good stuff.
So like any idea, and a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this, by the way, so just so you know, so a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of executives. So what you just now said, I mean, that's a big idea. Like where'd you start with this? Like, how did this all begin?
So this is actually my second company, and it all started with my first company. So at the time, I was working for a management consulting firm out of Madison, Wisconsin, and the pandemic hit. And so I had this somewhat of a come to Jesus moment with myself where I was like, you know what, I don't know if I'm doing everything that I want to with my life. Is this really fulfilling? And so, you know, I decided to cut my teeth and start my own consulting firm. And while I was doing that,
Was that scary?
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, totally. I didn't know what I was doing. And some days I still don't, right? But I was like, oh, you know what, I'm just going to take a chance because what do I have to lose? You know, the whole world was full of uncertainty. And so, I don't know, I just found that to be, you know, reason to try something new. And so did that. And about a year into my consulting venture, I had been working with teams in finance, insurance, and healthcare to help them with the remote work transition. You know, I was faced with a very difficult decision because we weren't able to keep up with like the McKinsey's, right? Like I was a mom and pop operation. It was me and my business partner. And we were just, you know, trying to figure out how to do this thing. It was my first time starting a business. And so I was like, okay, I got to find something more sustainable. I got to find something that is probably going to make a bigger difference. And in that research, it was like, I kept seeing with some of the clients, they were like, and my advisors, there were different areas of focus that were starting to kind of rear its head over the pandemic's course. So for example, issues with data accessibility, issues with technology and integration. These are things that got exacerbated because of the pandemic. And so as I started talking to my advisors and clients, I'm like, what other problems are coming out that you want us to solve? So, you know, took a lot from the people closest to the problems and figured out a way to commercialize the idea of Genome. And so, of course, this is expedited, but this is over like, you know, maybe 12 to 16 months of doing research and trying to figure out what am I going to do, right? And so when I decided to pivot from consulting to biotech, I guess what really solidified that was when I pitched the idea to an investor in Milwaukee, and they're ready to write me a check for a seed round for $400,000. And I was like, all right, guess we're doing that. So I closed down the consulting firm and opened up Genome.
Yeah. Now, okay, so you have this concept, you have this idea, you're moving forward, you have your first seed investor. And now you're thinking about, like, obviously you're getting further and further within the industry. Did anything surprise you, like, as you're thinking about, like, figuring out how to, like, extract the most value from this data? Like, did anything surprise you about the industry or otherwise?
Oh, definitely. I remember I had this thought that, oh, okay, well, because it's clinical research or medical science, like, oh, they have the best of everything. They're going to be able to access whatever data they want on any population, all of the health systems, the ones that keep track of our electronic medical records, they all talk to each other. It's just transferability is super easy. And that was something that I was really, interested in digging into when I found out that that was not the case. It's really this huge black box that needed a lot of improvements. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's really common for people to think that, oh, just because like there are these companies or universities that are pumping out great medical treatments and advancements when it comes to, drugs and different types of care, they don't always have the best of everything. And a lot of the times they have to rely on people like us to be able to get that information to help them create better outcomes when it comes to clinical research and trials.
Talk about monetizing the health data just for medical research purposes. Like, how does that work?
Sure. So I guess like from what GenomeMe does, like we allow people to control their health data at scale, and it's because we believe that they own it. And so you have the rights to your own data. You have the rights to access it because it is yours, even though it is housed in systems like I think what's most common is Epic MyChart or Cerner Millennium, or you might even get some different information from 23andMe or Ancestry.com reports, but all of that data is yours. And so it's yours to sell. There aren't really any restrictions around you commoditizing or monetizing your health data. It's just about finding which industries are going to get the most use out of it. And in this case, it'd be medical researchers.
How does the public, when you're having this conversation with the end user, like the consumer, that, the one that actually has the data, like how does that normally go? Because this is a new concept, I feel like. If you're in the tech side of things and otherwise, like then you kind of understand this. But if we're thinking at the very basic level for the masses, this is kind of new. It's a different kind of conversation. Like, how does that piece go? Like, public adoption of this concept.
Yeah. So we actually call people that would like to contribute their health data. We call them contributors, in our
Contributors.
platform.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Contributors. And so, in the medical sciences space, just generally in research, there's been discussions and whispers about allowing people to monetize their health data. But I know that that's not necessarily something that gets discussed with the public a lot. But
That's
realistically,
what I
it's
mean. Like the
not that.
hierarchy knows
Yeah.
this conversation and they know the value of that data and they know all of this, especially like whether it's big pharma, whatever it is, right? Like they know, but the public, I feel like they don't necessarily always know. Speaking for myself, I can't value what my data would be worth. You know what I mean?
Right. And so, what we're trying to do here is also a bit of a proof of concept to be able to say, we will charge X amount for your data and you will get X amount back if you decide to sell it. And a lot of that comes back to more consumer rights, more patient protections and patient rights around being able to own and, house their own data in whatever systems they choose. There hasn't been a ton of patient-centric ideas around the ownership of data, even though it does make these pharmaceutical companies and research facilities trillions of dollars every single year.
And talk to me about some of the benefits other than the monetary side, because I feel like there are more reasons why somebody might want to share their data. Obviously, for money, that's good. I'm not negating that, but like putting that piece aside for a moment is like research or like, I don't
Yeah.
know, can you go like a layer deeper on like the implications of why, if somebody wants to, obviously it's a right, if somebody wants to, why it could be beneficial for them to share?
Definitely. There's that altruism piece to it. So more widespread data usage can create better medication options, better treatment options for people. The research that's affiliated with using any kind of genetic tie, pharmacogenomics, how a person's genetics influences a body's responses to drugs in addition to electronic medical record data. When you get data on different populations, you're able to research how those different drugs affect different populations, whether they're part of a family or whether they're part of a main demographic. A lot of the data that's out there right now that's being used for medical research purposes or clinical trial purposes belongs to one major demographic that has access to medical care or, has the ability to afford it. And that is Caucasian men for the most part that are middle-aged. And I'm not a Caucasian man. And so if there's any kind of like study or trial being done on a drug that treats a form of cancer that I might have, I want to see how that affects people that are part of my demographic.
That's a great point. And I think what this also does, and correct if I'm wrong, but like over time, like the amount of additional, this also is a, it's got to be cheaper, right? Like in terms of like for companies, the people doing the research, everything else, because the data is already there, but the cost to purchase data that's already there versus trying to create this subset of people and trying to bring them together. And like, I don't know if there's even a number on that. If you want to just speak to that in general, when you kind of think of the other side of this, like the cost has to be like, there's win-wins, I feel like, in across the board on different sides of the coin.
Definitely, like affordability of drugs, that becomes more widespread. You are getting data from the source, which is the patient, not just, you know, a patient consented to a system to being able to use it, and they de-identify it and then sell it. I mean, with our platform, we're able to connect patient to researcher and researcher to patient through that consent process. So you're getting, you know, you're getting the data that you need on specific populations based on, you know, their ability to provide that for you, and they're constantly informed about it. Also, you know, a very different way to look at it is looking at, you know, clinical trials, clinical research as a form of primary care. You know, I don't know about you, but when I go to the physician, or, you know, just going to my physician's office, my primary care physician, I don't usually get talked to about how I could potentially get involved in clinical trials, or maybe how my family members can get involved, unless, you know, they're very sick. But there's a lot of really great uses for, you know, control population data. So somebody who might not be sick, but is just interested in, you know, hey, here's my health data, like, you know, use it for any type of research that, that you might want to conduct, as long as I'm getting compensated for it, you know, I'm fine with that. So
different ways to look at it. And I can think of, one example, and for everybody listening, my mom's okay with me sharing this, okay? So I don't want no emails. You shouldn't be talking about your mom's personal, this isn't it. She says it's okay. But she was one of the first people really diagnosed with Crohn's disease, like years ago. Oh. I mean, I was a kid. And I mean, to the point to where she's in like the medical books, like they study her, like period. She's still with us, by the way. She's fine. She's like, she's healthy.
Oh,
she's
great.
Retired in Florida listening to this somewhere. So don't worry about her. She's, you know, she's living her best life. I think she told me she just went to bike week, and why didn't I come? Like, come on, she's okay. But that being said, like, she's been participating and like providing her data for years without being incented, and that's okay. Like, she's not complaining about that. She wanted to be able to help others as well while they were trying to figure out what this disease even was. And so we're talking, I don't know, maybe 20 plus years more, probably, if I'm off on my numbers, because a decade, when I blink nowadays, a decade passed. So maybe could have been more. I don't know at this point. But that being said, I see like how like beneficial that other side of it is in developing, and how her information has been able to help a lot of other people. Like, now that it's a little bit more, I won't say a mature disease, I might be using that terminology wrong, but I mean, like, we just understand more about it now, right? There's other treatment options. But her participating and spending that time was a piece of that. So that become of whatever amount it was, but that's a piece of it. So I can see like that being like, there can be some other wins there, like long-term, just for all of us. Cause one thing's for certain, when it comes to healthcare and anything else, I'm all like, I don't, whether you're sick now, not sick now, whatever, like at some point in our lives, we're all going to need it in some way, shape or form. So I love when people like yourself are out there innovating and thinking of new ways and finding out ways to progress the whole system. Cause when I need it, I want it to work. How about that, Britt?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, and I'm glad to hear that your mom is still with us. And, to your point, like chronic conditions, rare diseases, you know, these affect, you know, millions of Americans. I think like, you know, I think it's, don't quote me on this, but about 30 million Americans actually have some type of rare disease. Which isn't that rare. I mean, with gene therapies increasing, especially, you know, being able to say within a degree of certainty that certain drugs or treatments are going to have a positive impact on people that might have different types of blood disorders or cancers, you know, it's more beneficial for all of us to be able to get treated from a pool of our peers. And we can make that happen with a way that's a little bit more accessible or a little bit more comfortable for people to share their data.
I agree. Well, Britt, it has been great having you on the show, and I appreciate you letting us into the world of Genome. And if somebody's listening to this and they want to learn more, how do they do that?
Well, they can go to www.yourgeno.me, and you can become a contributor or a researcher or submit a contact form to get in contact with us, or you can send an inquiry to hello@yourgeno.me. And we'll get back to you.
Amazing. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that the audience can just click on the links. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with us, hey, and you need that invitation, that special invite, this is it. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't done it yet. This is a daily show. Each and every day, we're bringing you new episodes, new amazing entrepreneurs like Britt, and we're upskilling everybody because the whole point is we all want to learn and grow together. So definitely hit that subscribe button. And if you're a long-term listener and you haven't left review yet, hey, please do that. Just hit the, write a review on Apple Podcast. That helps the show grow. And we really appreciate it. And Britt, thank you so much for making some time out to come share the Genome story with us. So we appreciate it.
That was wonderful to be here. Thanks, Adam.